Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I just started yesterday talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. And I tell you, this is an exciting teaching to me. This answered so many questions for me. You know, at the close of our program yesterday, I was giving a little background about that I was raised in a denomination that basically was passive, that it was just all up to God, and whatever God's will was for your life came to pass and there was nothing that you could do about it. And then I got exposed to the faith people, and there's a lot of great things that I got from the faith people, and I consider myself to be a faith person, but I began to start thinking it was all about what I do. And I had to make everything happen. And in a sense, I started taking the responsibility of being God upon myself. I wasn't trusting in what God had already done for me, and I nearly got worn out and burned out by that. And finally, I was able to mix the two and understand these things, and it just answered volumes of questions for me. I would hear people minister on things that I could see that there was a truth to what they were saying, but it seemed to violate other truths from the Word of God, and I just couldn't totally embrace it. And so what I did, I spent years looking and trying to figure out which is right, the grace people or the faith people, which is it? And finally, the Lord told me it's C, none of the above, that it has to be a combination of those two, not one or the other. And this answered so many questions for me. And to this day, this has now been about 40-something years that I've seen this in part, and I've gotten to where I share it a lot better than I used to. But this has been around 40 years that this has been like a staple in my life. And it has given stability to me, and I'm really, really excited about sharing this. Yesterday I was sharing out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I was sharing through that you aren't saved by grace alone. You aren't saved by faith alone. You're saved by grace through faith. Let me begin to start defining some of these things. Grace is God's part. It's what God does for us. Faith is our part. Now, it's not completely independent of God, because even our faith comes from God. That's what it says here, that you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Most people interpret that, most translations interpret that as that salvation that you receive is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And that is an accurate statement, but it's also accurate to say that faith that you are saved through is not of yourself. It literally comes from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever, 1 Peter 1:23. And that Word brings faith to you. So, let me define some of these things. Grace is God's part. It's what God does for us, independent of us. Now, this is important that you understand what I'm saying, because so much of my teaching is going to be based on understanding what grace and faith is. Grace is God's part. It's what God does for us, and it's independent of us. If it has anything to do with you, if you have to earn it, then it's not grace. You know, when you go and get your paycheck, you don't just say, "Oh, thank you, this is so wonderful that you did this, I don't deserve it." No, you think, "I earned this." And so it's a wage. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death. Sin has wages that go with it. And if you have this concept that you earned the grace of God, then you don't truly understand grace. It is something that is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. That's kind of a typical definition of grace. It's much more than that, but that is what most people would call grace. It's something that's unearned, undeserved, You don't do anything to gain God's grace. If it is based on anything you do, then it's not truly grace. Here's another thing about grace is that grace was extended towards us through Jesus. And of course, that happened 2,000 years ago. It says in John chapter 1 that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It also says right there in that same chapter of John chapter 1 that we beheld his that he was full of grace and truth. I think it's verse 16. And it says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace," or grace for grace. And so we've received the grace of God. It came through Jesus 2,000 years ago. The significance of this is it came before you existed. It came before you've done anything good or bad. God, by grace, saved you through what Jesus did. It was prior to your existence, prior to your goodness or your badness. Therefore, it is unearned, undeserved. There is nothing that you do that affects God's grace. Now, that is really important that you get this. Because if your definition of grace, if the way you understand it is that you can do something to affect God's grace, then it's not true grace. If it's grace, it's independent of you. It was prior to you, prior to your existence. It has nothing to do with you. That's grace. And see, some people have gotten sight of these truths that I'm talking about right here, and so they just extend this. They amplify on this. They embellish it. And they come to a place that it really doesn't matter what you do, whether you seek the Lord, pray for salvation, or anything. It's just up to God's grace whether you get saved or not. It has nothing to do with you. Now, that's not true. Because, again, Ephesians 2:8 says you're saved by grace through faith. It's not only what God does for you, but you have to respond to it. That's what faith is. Faith is our positive response to God. Now, it's very important that you get this definition. Faith is not something you do to get God to respond to you. See, if that's what you are thinking, and again, this is what most people who are emphasizing and trying to live by faith, they think, these are things I do. I study the Word. I pray. I confess the Word. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I do these things. And that makes God do something. If that's your definition of faith, then that is not a true definition of faith. The scriptural term for that, more accurately, would be works of the law, or law. That is not an accurate understanding of what faith is. Faith isn't something you do to gain a response from God. But here is my little simple definition of faith. Faith is simply your positive response to what God has already done by grace. Boy, that's powerful. Some of you may not be impressed with that, but that took me nearly 20 years to get to where I could say that, to where I understood it and could say that. That is a powerful, powerful truth. Faith isn't something you do to move God, to make God do something. It does not gain a positive response from God. But faith is simply your positive response to what God has already done by grace. And if it was by grace, then that means that it was without you. It wasn't in response to you. God didn't see you and see some worth or value in you and therefore respond and say, all right, I'll move in their life because they've done something. That wouldn't be grace. Grace is independent of you, separate from you, prior to your problem, prior to your existence. It is unearned, unmerited, undeserved. That's grace. But does grace alone provide you with what you need? Well, it makes the provision, but it doesn't come to pass in your life until you reach out and respond positively to what God has already provided. God doesn't make what His grace has provided for you come to pass automatically. You have to respond. So see, there is a balance between this. It's not just you doing things and you make God do something because you are such a wonderful person. That is not true faith. And yet that's what a lot of people are teaching and leaving people with the impression. Faith doesn't move God. God's not the one that's stuck. God doesn't need to move. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'm going to explain these things in more detail later. But let me just make a statement that I will verify and amplify on later. But God, by grace, moved through Jesus 2,000 years ago and provided everything that you need. He died for the sins of the entire human race 2,000 years ago. If you get born again today, it's not because Jesus just died for you and provided salvation. No, He did that 2,000 years ago. If you get born again today, what you do is respond positively to what God did 2,000 years ago. And you reach out and receive it. So see, there's a balance. God provided it prior to your existence, prior to your sins, prior to any goodness. That's grace. It's been provided. But it doesn't automatically come to pass because not everybody mixes faith with what God has provided by grace. If grace alone saved you, then you know what? Every person would be saved. Because Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men." All men. Not many men, but all men. This means that Hitler, this means that Saddam Hussein, or any person that you want to go, Genghis Khan, you just name whoever it is that's infamous in history, every single one of them had God's grace provide salvation. Jesus died for their sins. Hitler murdered, we don't know exactly, but over 6 million Jews. And then the war that he started was responsible for millions of others. Stalin killed, I think it was 12 million Russians. Did you know that every one of those murders, every bit of this, Jesus bore those sins and paid for their sins? Now, there may be some people watching this that say, "Well, I don't believe he did that. He only paid for the sins of the people who he knew would accept him." It says over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that he is the propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid for everyone's sins, even the sins of the people who didn't receive him. And see, if some person just took grace and said it's all by grace, well, God by grace paid for the sins of Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, on and on you could go. Your sins, my sins. Jesus paid for every single person's sins. And people who only emphasize grace and don't understand that there's a part we have to play also, well, then they could say, well, therefore everybody is saved. And there are some people today who are making that argument and saying that there is no such thing as hell. That even the devil and his demons are going to be reconciled to God. And they don't preach that there's a hell. You know, I just came out with a new teaching. I'll be offering it in the next month or two talking about the existence of hell. But there are some people today who are emphasizing grace and talking about how that the sins of the whole world have been paid for. And they are talking about that it's completely independent of us. It doesn't matter if you've asked for it, whether you even want it. God, by grace, has provided these things. And there are some grace people today who are teaching that there is no such thing as hell. Or that someday people in hell will be given a second chance and eventually be reconciled to God. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. There are many scriptures that talk about people being tormented forever in hell or in the lake of fire. How does this work? God, by grace, provided for everyone's sins to be forgiven, but you have to respond to God's grace in faith. That faith doesn't earn anything, but it does reach out and take. You know, it's like a person who's starving. And you're about to die because you're so hungry. And all of a sudden, I just put an entire meal in front of you. All of the food, the beverage, everything that you could ever need for sustenance, it's right in front of you. Did you know that I would just do it, not because you deserve it, not because you earned it, not because you could pay me. I just did it by grace. So I provide all of this for you. But did you know that you could have this entire 7-course meal sitting in front of you and you could still die of starvation if you didn't reach out and take it and begin to start eating? I can make the provision, but I'm not going to feed you intravenously. I'm not going to force feed you. I'm not going to make it come to pass. I could provide everything that it takes for you to live, but you have to reach out and take it. Now, does your reaching out mean that you made me do it? No. You didn't force me to provide it. I provided it by grace. But then you have to reach out and by faith receive it. And it's a similar type of thing. God, by grace, He saw the need of the entire human race. Actually, before He saw the need, before the foundation of the world, it says that Jesus was slain, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. It says that over in the book of Revelation. And so He saw this coming. He anticipated that people would reject Him. And before we even sinned, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, before the human race ever rejected Him, God had already determined this in His heart. He had already said that this is what He would do. He followed through when Jesus came to this earth, and He provided for your and my forgiveness of sins, made all of the payment. By grace, He did everything. But that doesn't mean that every person is saved, because not every person responds positively to God's grace. There's many people that reject it and rebel at God and everything it is. They hate Him and they resist Him. And if they reject it, well, then they will be punished for that. There's other people that just ignore it. They may not be a God hater or a God rejecter. They're just a God ignorer. And the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What God did for us is so important that it's not something that you can just neglect. Neglect is the equivalent of rejection. God did something so awesome that we have to come to a decision. Are we going to reach out and in faith receive what God has already provided for us, or are we going to reject it? And if you are passive and don't do anything, it's the same as rejection. You know, again, going back to this illustration, I could provide all of the food that you need to bring you out of hunger and to keep you alive. I could prepare it in front of you and it could be all perfect. And yet you could either push it away and say, I don't want your food, and reject it. Or you could just sit there in front of it and thank me for it. But then if you don't reach out and take it, if you don't ever eat it, it doesn't, just having the food in front of you doesn't give you strength. You don't get the nourishment by osmosis, just being close to it. You would have to put it on the inside of you and eat it. And likewise, God has provided for everybody through grace. But that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be receiving from God just because God has provided it. You have to learn how to reach out and receive. God, by grace, has already healed us. 1 Peter 2:24, the latter part of that verse says, by His stripes you were healed. This is, see, again, most people don't understand the things I'm talking about. And so they, when they get sick, oh, God, heal me. You know what they think? They think that if you will pray correctly, if you will be holy enough, you'll start bartering with God. God, I promise you, I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to pay my tithes from now on. I'm going to be nice to people. I'm going to start seeking You. I'm turning from this. If you'll just do this, then I'll receive this. What you think is that God is responding to your faith. That is not accurate. God, by grace, anticipated every sickness, every disease, every problem that would ever happen in the history of the world. And His Son, Jesus, bore those sicknesses and diseases in His body. And He's already paid for your healing. Healing is a done deal. It's already provided. And so you don't have to ask God and beg God to heal you. But you do have to reach out and just by faith say, Father, I thank You that by Your stripes I was healed. Now I receive it. And then you take your authority, and the Scripture says, speak to your mountain. Don't talk to God about your mountain and tell him what the doctor had to say and here's what the internet has to say and, oh, God, I'm going to die if you don't do something, and plead and get pitiful and beg and try and play on God's sympathy. That's the way that most people approach God. I did that at one time. But see, you understand that God, by grace, he's already provided this. Whatever it is that's come against you, God's already settled it. He's already healed it. By his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's already been done. By grace he's already provided it. And so all you got to do is just reach out and take it and say, Father, thank you that you've already provided it. I have the same power on the inside of me that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 through 19. I have this power and I can resist the devil and he will flee from me. James 4, 7. I have death and life in the power of my tongue. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. And I can say unto this mountain, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if I don't doubt in my heart, but I believe that what I've said comes to pass, I will have whatsoever I say. So see, you aren't making God do anything. You're just reaching out and taking what he has already provided. Boy, that's powerful. Somebody might be saying, well, what's the difference? Either way, you got to stand and take your authority and resist the devil and do. Huge difference. To think that all you're doing is executing a victory that has already been purchased for you. It's already done. And all you got to do is just stand in agreement with God and speak what he's already said about you. There's a huge difference between that and believing that I've got to grab hold of God and make God move. And make God heal me or make God do something. I tell you, there is a huge difference between resting in what he's already done and trying to get God to do something he hasn't already done. I tell you, there is a powerful, powerful difference. And this is what we're beginning to get into. Grace is something God has already done for you, prior to you, prior to your need. It has nothing to do with you. Faith is simply your positive response to what God has already provided by grace. If you're trying to get God to do something for you in response to you, then you aren't putting faith in God's grace. You are putting faith in your faith, faith in yourself, instead of faith in God's grace. And it's only by grace, through faith, that you are going to see the power of God released in your life. Man, these are powerful things. This has transformed my life. I know that there are many of you that this may be too technical for you, but I tell you, you need to understand these things because every single person struggles with what is God's part, what is my part. This will answer those questions. I'm out of time today, but I do have a brand new book. Actually, it's an old book that has been reissued away from the hardback. This is now a paperback edition of Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. I not only have the book, but I have a study guide and other materials. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled grace and the sovereignty of God, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. He'll also be in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite all of you who are full-time ministers to come and join me on October the 3rd through the 7th right here in Colorado Springs for our annual Ministers Conference. This is about our 20th-something year that we've been doing this, and it's always a highlight of our year. I have Bob Yandian and Bob Nichols who minister with me, as well as Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, and my wife will be ministering in music. It's just a tremendous time. We have a barbecue. There is a charge for the barbecue, but we need to know if you want to come. So there is a registration. It's a free registration. You can do that online, but you need to respond quickly. The time is approaching. Remember, it's October the 3rd through the 7th, right here in Colorado Springs for our Ministers Conference.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him 2 jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Ken and Virginia Wood.
Thank you.